We're taking our Bible reading this morning from the Old Testament, the second book of Samuel and chapter 1. Second book of Samuel, chapter 1. We're going to break into the chapter, the verse 17. David is informed, of course, here of the death of Saul and Jonathan. And a young man, an Amalekite, came to David with Saul's throne and the royal bracelet that he'd taken from his hand. And he told David that he personally had slain Saul because that was Saul's request. Because he had been wounded. And David said to him, "Were you not afraid to touch the Lord's anointed?" And because he had touched the Lord's anointed, David ordered the young man's immediate death. And then when we come to verse 17, it says this, "And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, 'The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, you put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen? And the weapons of war perished." Amen. God again will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. I'd like you to open your Bible with me again, please, at 2 Samuel and the chapter that we read together. It's a very sad and a very solemn chapter. And we're taking as our text the words that are recorded in verse 23, where David says Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. The thought that I want to leave with you is David's final tribute to his friend Jonathan and to Saul, Jonathan's father. Now, I am sure that everyone is familiar with the saying, "Like father, like son." And while that may be true sometimes, it is not true all the time. It certainly was not true of Saul and Jonathan. Though they were indeed father and son, they were very, very different people. But what they were can be a picture of what our relationship with God can be. You see, the death of Jonathan and his father Saul brought great sorrowness of soul and heaviness of heart to David. Though Saul had been a source of great grief to David throughout the course of his life, because for 2 years Saul walked with God, but for 38 years he was out of touch, and came to that point in his life where he said, God answers me no more. And he had allowed something to infiltrate his Christian life that made him a very, very bitter person. And that was a terrible sin of jealousy. Yet when it comes to their death, David is weeping over them both and lamenting their passing. David, of course, was as skillful with the pen as he was with the sword. And what he says of Saul and Jonathan, he puts it into a sort of poetic form. And he says there in verse 19, the beauty of Israel is slain. How are the mighty fallen? Then he says in verse 23, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant. And folks, that David could say of Saul that he was lovely and pleasant in his life shows the grace that was in David's life. For on 3 occasions, Saul tried to kill David and came within a hair's breadth and was so close to taking his life on one occasion that David ran to Saul's son Jonathan. He said, Jonathan, as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. But David realized one thing, that no matter what kind of a man Saul was or turned out to be, he was the Lord's anointed, and you don't touch the Lord's anointed. That's why he ordered the death of the young Amalekite. Because he dared to touch the Lord's anointed. We come to look at the subject. David's final tribute to Saul and Jonathan. It is a portrait, a picture of what a Christian's relationship with God can be. And I want you to notice, first of all, the picture that is drawn here in verse 23. It says, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. Now, Saul and Jonathan were very, very different people. And when people die, sentimental feelings run very high. And most people will want to recall the better things in a person's life, the lovelier things in a person's life, and that is a goodly exercise, not only just in death, but in life also. You see, all of us far too easily are given to criticism of God's people. And even when someone falls, there can be a lot of gossip and criticism, but little prayer for the restoration. But in death, David had nothing bad to say about Saul, and he could have. In fact, David could have said very many negative things about Saul, but he didn't, because he realized this truth, that if God were to mark iniquity, who would stand? We read in Psalm 149 in the verse 4 where he says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation." And just as he said of Saul and Jonathan, they were lovely and pleasant in their lives. You and I can have a lovely and a pleasant relationship in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thinking about this picture, notice first of all their distinctive mark. He said they were lovely and pleasant. And that word pleasant there literally means sweet. So he is saying that they were lovely and sweet in their life. And that is an evidence of divine grace. Now there were times when the uglier side of Saul's life appeared. But that he had a relationship with God is clearly mentioned in the scriptures. It says in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 9 that God gave him another heart. In that chapter in verse 6 it says that the Spirit of God came upon him. And the grace of God changes the ugliness of sin in a person's life. It makes them a new creation. God beautifies a life with his salvation. But there was not only this distinctive mark, lovely and pleasant, but then their different manner. Saul and David, or Saul and Jonathan, were very different in their lives. We know the history of Saul, of course. The first king in Israel. The people's choice, but not God's choice. We must always be clear in that, folk, even when it comes to praying about a minister for the church, that it's God's choice. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 10, when Israel was choosing a king, that Saul did something. He actually hid himself so that they would not choose him. And his life at that point was marked with a tremendous sense of humility. In fact, that same chapter in the verse 23 tells us that he stood head and shoulders above everyone else physically. Spiritually, it wasn't so. And David was often on the receiving end of Saul's carnality. But folks, we have to stop and we have to confess that there's an awful lot of Saul in all of us. But the amazing thing is, like Saul, God clothes his people with a garment of salvation, and that is a spotless garment. Now, Jonathan was indeed very, very different from Saul, his father, and he was the friend of David, where his father was the enemy of David. And that's where it all went wrong. He was jealous of David. And jealousy is a terrible sin and destroys a person's life. It corrupted Saul's life. The Bible tells us that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And in 2 Samuel here and the 1 and the verse 26, it says where David said of Jonathan, "Thy love to me was wonderful." And no doubt that statement was made in the light of what Saul, his father, had tried to do. So they were very, very different in their lives. Lovely and pleasant, though, David said. He would not speak ill of the Lord's anointed. And you know, so the Christian today can say that of Christ. His love to us is wonderful. Wonderful in loving us. Wonderful in lifting us out of our sin. Wonderful in leading us on with himself. Wonderful in looking after us. Because God not only saves us by his grace, then he provides for us day by day. And withholds no good thing, David said, from them that walk uprightly. But friend, do you have that relationship? Now, you and I live in a world where everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to make any preparation. But friend, there has to come a moment when that preparation must be made. And in the light of universal terrorism that we were confronted with in Manchester, there is an urgency in that. Because we know not what shall be in the morrow. And friend, if your life ends tomorrow, where will you be? When Saul sought to kill David, Jonathan sought to defend David. Yet in death, he says of them both that they were lovely, they were pleasant in their lives. And only grace can produce that. Oh, the Church of Christ can say of the Lord Jesus, he's altogether lovely. And the Lord can say of his chosen church, I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Friend, are you one of his? But then I want you to know something else, the power that's described here, because in verse 23 it says this, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. And you can see the influence of their life that David is emphasizing here, like eagles and like lions. Now, one of the great privileges of salvation, folks, is forgiveness of sins. It's peace with God and the assurance of heaven. The privilege of salvation. But there is a purpose of salvation. And that is that we would serve him, that we would have an influence for him in the world around us. And David is speaking about the influence of these two people that they had in their community. He says, first of all, they were swifter than eagles. Now, the eagle is a bird of power. It's a bird of perception. And the swiftness of the eagle is referred to in the book of Lamentations, chapter 4 and verse 19, where the Bible says, our persecutors are swifter than the eagles of the heaven. And the emblem of the eagle is used to demonstrate God's gracious dealings with us. Note what the Lord says about Jacob. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, and the chapter 32, it says of Jacob that the Lord found him in a desert land, in the waste, howling places. Picture of a man in sin. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of the eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. Now that's very, very descriptive. Of course, the Bible also speaks about God's people in that light as well, because in Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 31, the scripture says this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And all that the eagle does for her young, so the Lord does for his people. As the eagle, we read there, bears up her young, so the Lord bears up his people, enabling them to live for him When we trust the Lord, he's not asking us to do anything in our own strength. And if we do, we'll fail. He gives us power to live for him because he says in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and the verse 12, for as many as received him, to them gives he the power, the right, the authority to become the sons of God. The eagle is also a bird of perception. Soaring up to great heights, his vision is clear, it's unmarred, and it's unclouded. The Lord desires you and me to go higher with him. Christian, no matter what plane we're living on today, we can go further with the Lord. We can all pray more. We can all do more. We can all endeavor to live more holy. And the higher we can go with the Lord, then the more clear our vision will become of him, and more stronger will our love grow for him. It says they were stronger than lions. Now the Bible declares the lion to be the strongest among the beasts of the field. Because in the book of Proverbs, and the chapter 30 and the verse 30, there the scripture says, a lion which is the strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. And yet that's how David is describing Jonathan and Saul. And of course the Lord is referred to himself as the lion of the tribe of Judah and of God's people. He says in Proverbs chapter 28 and the verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Therefore the lion is fearless, it's strong. Yet David said Saul and Jonathan were stronger than lions. And you know, amazingly, that is the portion of God's people in the scriptures. Because in 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 4, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you and I don't have to fear failure and defeat. You and I can live in victory because Christ in us is greater and stronger than he that is in the world, which is the devil. Therefore, because of a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I can have an influence in our community and a testimony among people similar to what David said of Saul and Jonathan. They were lovely and pleasant in their lives. Folks, we never get far in this world without facing reality. And there's some Christians are not lovely and pleasant in their lives. They're bitter people. But David said of these two men, they were lovely. And they were pleasant. And here's the truth. God's people should be lovely people. God's people should be pleasant. In the communities in which we live. Then I want you to notice something. There is a partnership that was not divided, because David said in the verse 23, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. And just as Saul and Jonathan were not divided in death, that is the position and the portion of God's people. Even in death, they are not divided from the Lord. And death is the great separator. It will separate a mother from her children. It will separate a man from his wife. But death cannot separate God's people from the Lord. You see, in this life, folks, our relationship with God can be disrupted, but it cannot be destroyed. And there may be times in our lives when our relationship with God becomes strained because we allow circumstances and situations to take over. Strained it was in the life of Saul. What went wrong with Saul? The man who stood head and shoulders above everybody. The man who hid away in humility lest they would choose him. But they wanted David. And Saul was jealous. And the Bible says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And folks, our relationship with God can be strained. That because of sin, that because of disobedience. And we were singing, when we walk with the Lord. Always good to note what we sing, folks. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. The emphasis is on the walking. Friend, are you walking with God? That is the great secret of enjoying God's presence, walking in the light of God's word. In death, it says, they were not divided. And though sometimes a believer can falter and fall, not even death can separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Because in John chapter 10 and 28 and 29, the Lord says this, My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Surely that's a relationship, my friend, worth having. And then, of course, we have the words of the great apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, when he throws out this mighty question, says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Who? Then he says about tribulation, about distress, about persecution, about famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. But he says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Walking with God, we are as safe as God can make us. And these two men were not divided in death. And neither will the child of God. Saul and Jonathan, lovely. Is that the picture of our lives who belong to Christ? You see, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see. What does the man and the woman around us see? People who profess salvation, lovely and pleasant. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. And friend, if we allow sin in our lives, we're going to be as weak as unconverted people. And always remember the consequences of sin. Even in a believer's life, it'll bring you sorrow. And it'll bring you suffering. It'll bring you shame. and in death they were not divided. Let me just conclude with the words of Augustus Toplady when he wrote that great hymn, emphasizing the security of our relationship with the Lord, when he said, "My name from the palms of his hand, eternity will not erase, impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace." Friend, have you one of his? Today he stands at the door of your life. And folks, in the light of events that happen in our world, because you and I live in a world where there's nowhere safe, and if eternity called today, where would you be? What would be said? What would the preacher say? Was saved. Or would he have to say he was lost? Little wonder the hymn writer penned the words of that great hymn, "Where will you be in eternity?" This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what will your answer be? Where will you be in eternity? And friend, in Christ, let's seek to have that testimony lovely and pleasant. Swifter than eagles, stronger than lions, and no doubt in death will not be divided from the Lord. You should trust him today. You should trust him now.